on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, on DAB Digital Radio, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about Rugby League. The RHP Show on Pulse 1 with Aaron, the Power Bauer, the Reggae Warrior, Ross Peltier, the Italian Stallion, or Mini, Elliot Minchella, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live in Pulse 1 Studios. And what a show we've got tonight. What a studio we've got tonight. It's absolutely rammed. Yes, we've got the Power in it. Yes, we've got the Stallion and the Reggae Warrior, but we've also got two of my former teammates. One guy you'll know really well. One other guy that we'll introduce as the rugby manager, the football manager for Workington, working alongside the Earl of Rugby League. So we'll introduce him first. It is none other than Craig Mack. Mackie McDowell speaking to us. Say hello, Mackie.
Hello, everybody.
So a round of applause for his first time on the show. And not only that, let's introduce back to the show. He is one of the originals, the Earl of Rugby League. It is Leon Price.
Good evening, everybody. I'm back.
He's getting booed by Aaron because...
Getting booed by a cast fan.
Robin Whipsey. Sell out. Boys, how's it going? Everyone, how's it going? Bradford boys, you're putting your bodies back together after playing against Toronto. But first, let's start up in Workington. I was going to tease you a little bit and say Whitehaven, and I know it's a little bit territorial up there. So let's just have a chat. How's it going up
there? The up and then, Robbie's Gary Schofield just walked past me. Is that really Gary Schofield?
They do the Talk Sport too. From there. Well, I mean, last week before we come into the show, Aaron unloaded on him. He did. What were you talking about?
I can't say that on air.
But I thought, get in there, Aaron. One of the biggest names in the modern game of rugby. Well, is it modern?
Old.
That's old school, isn't it now?
It's all legend.
It's still a modern game of rugby to me. That's how old I am. But he is one of the most, actually not decorated, because they did, as I understand, he didn't really win much.
I'm sure I'll let you know his credentials, but I think he's got the most caps for Great Britain and most tries and all them. But he's a legend player.
Be under no illusion, the guy could play footy. It was during that generation, the 80s, is when I grew up watching that wonderful Great Britain team that had Alery Hanley in it, Andy Gregory, all of these massive. Sean Edwards, all of these massive names of rugby league, and obviously Scully's alongside them. So I got to admit, I'm a bit in awe of the man thinking about his playing career, but he is absolute dynamite when it comes to the statements that he makes. But anyway, let's talk about the far reaches of this planet. Workington. It's not as far as Whitehaven. Whitehaven is actually...
I thought you were talking about Toronto beating Bradford at weekend.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that. Let's talk about what it's like.
Get that negative energy out of the room. You know, it's like that big elephant sitting in the corner. Come on, let's talk about it. What happened?
That's the first shot across the bow in League One competition. Leon, head coach of Whitehaven.
I'm here as Leon, just your mate. I'm not over as the coach tonight. Having a giggle, having a laugh. Come on, boys.
We are having a giggle, but we want to know what's the journey been like?
Oh, journey's not too bad. I can stay up there two or three times a week. So
I don't actually mean the physical journey. What's it like taking the boots off?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Becoming a coach and dealing with it. Obviously, you're used to the professional game, the highest reaches of the professional game. You're now operating in League One. You're with a semi-professional team, limited budget, limited resources. I mean, we know the story up in Whitehaven. The challenge, Workington. I'll stop. That's the last time I'm going to say Whitehaven. Mackie, if I say Whitehaven again, you're allowed to get up and slap me. Workington.
It's good, yeah. It's really good. It's been absolutely brilliant. Obviously, the last probably 2 or 3 years, I was really struggling training-wise to play the game, wanting to play, but my body just won't let me. So to not have to physically do anything, but at the same time be involved in the game that we all love and... be the boss, you know, make calls, make decisions, get the squad, organise training and tell people to run and do fitness and watch them die.
And Mackie, come into the microphone. The mic. What's he like?
Yeah, he's adapted to it pretty well, to be fair, even though he sat next to me and he's employed me, so I won't say too many bad things, but yeah, I think he's took the bull by its horns, and he's kind of got the whole town and the whole kind of county buzzing, realistically.
Look, you're never short of a word. Is that part of the role that you're doing up there, promoting Workington?
I don't think at this moment I'm not promoting because I need to get the rugby right first, but I think it comes with a territory if you've played Super League for a long time and you've got a little bit of a name or reputation. When you go up there, they don't get many...
A little bit? You're one of the most decorated players in the Super League.
I wanted you to say that, Robin.
Does he come up to training and wear all of his Super League rings and Challenge Cup medals? Pulls the Challenge Cup medals all dangling, clinking away underneath his training.
Meetings with players, and he's mentioned it once or twice that he's played 536 games. He's won 27 medals, and he can produce the goods when he wants to.
No, but like on a serious note, like if you've been up there before, Robert, if you're from like you've done well for yourself career wise, and you've got a bit of an high profile. If you make the effort to go up there, because it's so far away from everywhere, when they see Super League players, they'll love you. So it's like at the moment the town is buzzing.
Get a few losses under your belt.
Yeah. I've been bringing some bodyguards up from Bradford.
Pelts?
No, I'm busy, man.
The transition's going all right. Is it true that if you sail 30 metres out into the water, you do drop off the face of the earth?
I'm not from Cumbria. He's a Cumbrian.
Yeah, no, that's not accurate, mate. You end up in Ireland. It's all good in Dublin, yeah.
Okay, well, I love Ireland as well. Let's change the focus to the season as a whole, League One, the challenges that you guys have got in front of you. Obviously, you'll have to play that local derby match against Whitehaven as well, and there'll be a lot made of that. It always is. What games are you looking forward to in 2018?
Well, I think I'm looking forward to all the games because the pressure's not really on me. The pressure's on the Bulls. Everybody expects them to wipe the floor. Everybody, and as Ross put in one of his tweets, it's going to be everybody's Challenge Cup final there. So every time they play a game, whichever club it is, it'll be their biggest game of the year. So they're playing in what you could really say is a cup final every week, whereas we're just going to play to as best as potential, try go under the radar, do the best that we can do with our own expectations. So I'm just going to enjoy the season.
So I'll bring Peltz and Elliot in at this point. I mean, this has been... It's one of the things that actually John Kerr is making a point out of. You guys in the playing staff, you need to understand that you are going to be going up against it. Every single team that you're going to play against, because especially when it comes to travelling up to Cumbria, a lot of Bulls fans do like to go up for the weekend. I like to go up for the weekend. I'll be up for the weekend coming up this season as well. It becomes a special event for those teams, and they take their game to another level. I think we just discussed it last week, but actually to hear it from one of the coaches that are talking about that you're going to be coming up against, does that add pressure?
I think pressure's always going to be on when you play for Bradford, especially in the position we're in. Team we've built, some of the players we've signed recently is Greg McNally, coming from Lee, playing for us in League One. Pressure's always going to be on, isn't it? But we're trying to not focus on that. He's trying to just make us focus on what we've got to do week in, week out, and forget all this pressure and forget everything else. We've just got to do our job and look after ourselves.
Another challenge. It's a very new team. You guys do have a very new team. Look, for example, many of you are out-and-out back rower, loose forward, ball-handling back rower, loose forward, you can play in the centres, but also play in the halves, and you've done so very well during these pre-season games, but it's not your preferred position. But you've had to do it because of the injuries to Joe Keyes and Dan Chisholm. Does that... The aspect that it's a brand new team that has come together put extra pressure on that with the expectation?
No, I wouldn't say it puts extra pressure on. I think, first of all, Leon's right. I think we're going to go to every game this year and we're going to have a massive big red cross on our heads, and that's how we deal with that as a 17, as a squad and as a club. But I think we've got what it takes to ride that. I think you're right. It might take a few games for us to be fluent and to get our attack right. I think in the friendlies it's shown that we haven't really been on the money attacking wise. But then again, we've still won two out of the two against two championship teams, so we are going in the right direction. I think once we get Keezy back and Dane Chisholm, they're his main halfbacks, no doubt about it, and I think they will get us around the field. Greg McNally coming in has been awesome in training, and when you get them free clicking, I think we'll have something special there.
Alright, so let's have a look at the game from Friday night versus Toronto. The Canadians have come, tough game. There seem to be two patches in the game. where the sort of the guard was let down. The opening 16 minutes, I think 16 points were notched up in that opening 16 minutes, and then in the second half, in the sort of middle way through the second half, again, another patch of 10 to 15 minutes where there was a few tries that just... How did you find the game?
I thought, like you said, in patches, we lost the ruck consistently. I think that's what lost us the game, you know. They were far superior in ruck. Like, I found myself, like, I'd find my front quick, but then they'd always have a pin or something, and we struggled in that aspect. And then on flip side, we couldn't control ruck. They were too fast. They played too fast on us. And when they make a break, they're flooding through about six numbers. So, you know, if we stood there with about three men either side, so we struggled in that aspect.
With Super League quality players as well. So it wasn't just when it rains, it pours, is it?
Yeah, no. Nah.
So many hells are for you.
Yeah, I think, like I said, that first 16 minutes were like rabbits in the headlights, looking, thinking, you know, they've got all these star players running at us. And I think, to be honest, some of us were not scared, I won't say scared, but we didn't really know what to do. And like I say, 15 minutes in, we had three tries, we touched ball once, I think. But yeah, I think the main thing, what obviously we lost the game, was the ruck. And once you're losing a ruck against that sort of team, we were just on the back foot, we're in a washing machine, just getting rolled and rolled and rolled, and it's so hard to get out of it.
But a learning experience still, nonetheless.
Yeah. Obviously, I think it's been said they schooled us. So we've looked at their game and we've reviewed it, and we can take some of their stuff, put it into our game. Yeah, definitely.
And I know we're not going to mention names, but I know that John's been pretty ruthless in regards to the video session. He's picked on things that you've done really well, encouraged that, but obviously a couple of opportunities that have not gone so well. He's really picked up on that and fired into those that were involved.
Yeah, I was one of them we fired into as well. You know, he'd show like three clips of stuff I've done well, said, oh, this is what you're doing very well, and then he'll show an aspect of my game that I hadn't done well and says, you know, this is where you need to fix up. And you know, he doesn't hold no words back, and he'll tell you how it is.
Was it when he goes walking around with his hands on his head?
Yeah.
He's strutting about.
Just when you try to call him off a blindside. Ross!
That's
my voice. Now.
What is the front row doing, holding hands with the winger?
I still woke up at night hearing him screaming my name.
All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be looking at the structure, the ins and outs of the Super League. It's kick-off tomorrow night. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We'll be back with more.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. It's all about Rugby League. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, the power that is Aaron Bauer, the stallion that is Elliot Minchella, Craig Mackie McDowell, and the reggae warrior, Ross Peltier. Oh, that's a mouthful. So many people in the studio. And no, we're not giving anything away today. We're going to talk about the Super League, the confusion. That is the Super League. So I'm going to point towards you, Aaron. Great article out last night. Today, when did it come out?
Today, this morning, yeah.
Just talking about the confusion that do we know where we're going with this sport? I'll fire it over to you. Set it up.
Look, probably read it and it's in solid, you know, on its own, and you might think it's taking loads of massive pot shots at the sport, but you think back, I mean, it's only 60 days since England were in the World Cup final, and the amount of stuff that's been out, sort of off-field boardroom stuff since then, I just think it's pretty embarrassing for the sport. All fans care about and all people care about is what happens on the field. That's what sport's all about. It's about winning, it's about losing, it's about following your team. But you've got the clubs kicking off this weekend, not so much your Leeds and Wiggins, as I said in the article. The clubs like Featherstone, Halifax, Bradford, working and who spring to mind, that are going to be trying to move up a league come the end of this season. And we're kicking off tomorrow night, and nobody knows what the structure looks like. Now, the RFL have been pretty quick to try and calm it down and say, well, look, 2018's as it is, there's going to be £1 million game, there's going to be a Super 8s, but nobody knows how many teams are going to be in Super League next year. There could be 12, there could be 14, which would mean the 8s would need changing. It wouldn't be top three in the qualifiers and then £1 million game between 4th and 5th. It might go down to top 5 and then 6th and 7th, so clubs would change their budgets accordingly on that. If it goes up to 14, that would only leave 10 in the championship, so there would be more League One clubs potentially going up. Again, clubs might spend a little bit more based on that. And while it's easy for your Wiggins and Leeds of this world to make those changes, for clubs like Workington and even Bradford now, who rely so much on crucial streams of income, mm-hmm. I just think it's embarrassing, and it's an elitist attitude again that the Super League clubs don't really care about what's happening beneath the top level, throwing the fact that the Super League clubs are trying to take more and more power off of the RFL. No one's leading the RFL at the minute because Nigel Wood's departed, Roger Draper's left as well. I just can't wait for the rugby to start tomorrow because I'm bored of reading and I'm bored of writing about stuff that's happening off the field. So bring on the rugby, because we're in a hole again, and it's not the first time we've been in a hole going into the new season, but it shouldn't be like this because England made the World Cup final 60 days ago and we should all be excited. We don't know who the England coach is. We don't know if they're going to be playing a game in Denver. It's just a mess, and I just think it's embarrassing.
So, I'll hand that over.
Boom. Sorry, but yeah.
Kabow. So, I mean, look, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to look at it from four different areas. Look, Leon, I want you to put your coaching hat on here. And when you're trying to prepare, because I understand what it's like at the lower division clubs, the head coach is really influential in regards to where the money goes, where, because you've got to buy the players, you've got to put together the right squad and right team, and a lot of that is based upon central distribution funding, which is at the core of what we're talking about. League One clubs, Championship clubs are all at this point in time, which is why the Championship clubs that we're talking about, Halifax, Featherstone, but it does go deeper than that. I'm all thinking now, well, if all the money's going to be ring fenced for the Super League, and as you mentioned in that article, there's a reflection of what happened to the Premier League right back in 92. There's similar sounds, and if everything gets ring fenced to the Super League, that has a drastic, and I'm not talking about a little impact, but a drastic impact on the rest of the competition, the rest of the game, full stop. And that will even filter down into the amateur leagues as well.
Well,
I'll do it from both points of view,
as a fan and first of all, as a coach, for me, you can only look after what you're in charge of, like what you're actually in control of. I'm not in control of what the board do, so I can't waste my energy worrying about if we're going to get promoted or not. I'm just going to go do the best that we can, probably not speak about it until it's mentioned and it's we're told what we're doing, but we will take care of what's in our control, which is our performances, and that's it. That's all we'll worry about. We won't even speak about it. We're just going to go for the top, you know, go do as good as we can. But as a fan, I completely agree with what he's saying, because from when we played back in the day, when we, you know, we'd go to Oddsall and we built up to a gate of 24,000 winning Super Leagues, and Super League would boom in 2000, you know, early 2000s up to 2007-08, and then really and truly from there, where has the game gone? I mean, why is the game now as good as it was 10 years ago? No. Lots of reasons. There's lots of different reasons, but as a sport, we want to progress. You know, at Rugby Union, we only made professionals 10, 15 years ago. They're way above us now. And we all knew it was going to happen. Why? Why, like Aaron says, why are we in a World Cup final, give a great performance, everybody's buzzing, yeah, then the fallout from it's all negative. So it's things that frustrated all Rugby League fans for a long time, but it's nice that, you know, it's good to say it every now and again. You don't want to talk about it too much, it just gets boring, but the fact is, have we progressed in the last 15 years? Is the game better now than it was 10 years ago? Do players get paid more now than they did 30 years ago? No.
Well, is there more money in the game now than there was 30 years ago? Not really. There is, but not really.
Not really, but that's a sign of our game. It's a sign of our progression, whether that's marketing, the people that are playing the game, whatever. We've not progressed.
So I'm going to come to the players now. So Mini, Pelts, look, a lot of this you can become a little bit disconnected from as a player, because obviously, like Leon stating, that's for board members, that's for them to have that argument with. Is there any sort of concern, is there any conversation going on in regards to the state of affairs as we speak right now without that sort of leadership? I mean, we must say that Ralph Rimmer has taken on the responsibility of interim CEO. He was the COO, is that right? The chief operating officer, and he's stepped into to steer the ship at this point in time. But from a playing point of view, is there conversations currently being spoken about thinking, you know what, the volatility of our game, it makes me nervous, it doesn't make me nervous, I'm not bothered. What's going on with the conversation points?
To be honest, there's nothing being said between our boys. We're similar to what Leon says, that we've got a similar mindset as the coach would. We've just got to concentrate on our performances on the field and win as many games as we can and get promoted. You know, that's regardless of if there's going to be 12 teams in the championship next year, 14, 16, it doesn't matter to us, as long as, you know, like I said, to be honest, nothing's been said. But as a fan, I'm a rugby league fan as well, I want to have some clarity. I want to know what's going on, and nobody knows, do they? Like, it's ridiculous. It shouldn't be like this. Like Aaron said, 60 days since a rugby league World Cup final, and the game's what? It's completely negative. But as a player, no, nothing has been said as like that. No.
Yeah, I don't think players will start thinking about it too much until we start seeing decisions that could, you know, impact our lives, like when leagues change and structures change and whether,
amount of games,
yeah, amount of games, whether, you know, money that's coming in a game that could keep us, you know, me being I'm a full-time player, whether that could still be possible for Bradford to do things like that. I think when decisions start being made and we see that they could affect us adversely, then we'll start thinking about it. But until then, we concentrate on the game.
Here's a scenario, because obviously Aaron was painting the picture before. 14 teams, if they tick the box and they push the green light on 14 teams going into the Super League, what does that mean for League One? Because you've got to populate the competition underneath it. Is it just a straight suction? Do four teams go up from League One?
Well, like I said, there's more questions than answers, isn't there? I don't think nobody knows. Like you say, is the top four in League One go up? Is it a playoff system, or is it going to be 14 teams?
Well, if it goes to 14, like I say, you're left with 10 in the Championship. So instead of two going up, you probably imagine four would go up from League One this year. And I guess, to throw Craig in, from a football department point of view, if your goals and your potential aims are going to be changed halfway through the year and the goalposts are going to be moved, if you knew from the start that four went up in League One as opposed to knowing in June, it massively impacts your budgets and your projections and everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it massively changed, like, the kind of players that you're bringing in. It changes your kind of outlook on where you're projecting to go, you know, financially. It's having a massive effect, you know, from those clubs that are there or thereabouts to go full time, and the clubs that aren't anywhere near that, you know. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it can put people, you know, away from the game, off the game, and that's not what we want to do. We want to be promoting people to enjoy the game, and right now, it's not really good. It's not good enough.
Just to finish off, just looking at it from a media point of view. Now, you've spoken about your own personal feelings towards you. You're sick of having to talk about the administrative side of the game of rugby, which purely understandable, but it is hot topics. What's the general feel across the media landscape?
What are we doing? Where are we going? Who's running the game? Who's going to be running the game? What are the league's going to look like? It's difficult to have any sort of view about the sport long term when the clubs don't even know themselves.
Must make it hard to write about it as well.
It makes it hard to sell to the papers as well, because the sport, to the people in Fleet Street in London, probably looks like a little bit of a joke. You would never see this in rugby union or football or cricket. So it's perception again. Rugby league people are never going to fall out of love with the game. As much as they say, oh, I don't love it anymore, they will always love it. The challenge for rugby league is selling it to those people outside of the M62, and with stuff like this going on, it just makes it harder and harder to look professional. And I guess we might talk about the Hearns in a bit. That maybe is where they come in.
Okay, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we might throw in Eddie Hearns. He's made a few comments regarding rugby league, but we'll also be looking in depth and in detail at the upcoming first round of the Super League. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the Earl of Rugby League, the power that is Aaron Bauer, the Italian Stallion, which is Ellie Mentella, Craig Mackin McDowell, and the Reggae Warrior himself, Ross Peltier. We're talking about the state of rugby league. We're talking about where our game is right now and what direction it's going in. We don't know. That's, I mean, I think that's the general consensus in the studios. We don't actually know where it's going, but there may be someone in waiting in the wings that can take us in a direction. Eddie Hearn has been challenged over the last probably 2 to 3 weeks. They've just been, fans have been getting in contact with him, people, administrative people within the game, as he states, have been getting in contact with him, and he's saying, you know, I'm paraphrasing this quote, but rugby league is a big, powerful sport, but it's on his knees. We've done it with darts, we've done it with snooker, we've done it with boxing, we can do it with rugby league. Isn't that exciting?
Got to, yeah. I said this about 18 months ago, that we need somebody like them, just to jazz the sport. But I think also as well, I've been thinking about this away from the studio. Rugby league is really a working men's sport, and anybody that ever comes out and says, yeah, we're going to win this game, or comes out as a bit outspoken, or celebrates tries, or anybody that puts their head above the water gets smashed straight away. So really and truly, what we are is we're like humble, or, you know, don't be big-headed, don't say that you're good.
Working man's, don't you really mean northern man? It's a real cultural thing in the north of England.
You know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
You just don't show off.
No,
don't celebrate. Don't be a big time. Don't put your collars up. Don't spin ball on your finger before you walk out of Wembley. you know, them kind of things. Just don't be a big time. I mean, that is our consistency. So when we play well and people interview us, like, yeah, we're playing all right, but they played well, and everybody's conservative and, you know, nice. But that doesn't sell papers. That doesn't give you Erasmus size. Doesn't give us any profile. People want profile, people want personalities, people want opinions, people want to say, I hate him, I love him, he's an idiot, you know, people want to not everybody be bland, and I think in Super League we're bland in rugby league.
You know, a very interesting comment there, because the governing body did some media training, and they were getting they took some marquee players from different clubs, young and upcoming players, and they were training them on how to deal with the media, etc. And I remember watching these players on camera, and I remember they could string sentences together really well, and they sounded articulate, but like what Leon's just saying, oh god, they were boring.
Yeah, but then that's the thing, it's kind of our sport. If you're, let's say John Wilkin, for example, I played with John Wilkin for 6 years, fantastic player, loves the media, he sees himself as doing that after rugby, but if you speak to anybody else that doesn't know him, it's like, oh, who's he think he is, big time? Seeing him doing interviews and on BBC, who's he think he is, who's he thinks he's a better player than he is? No, not really, he's just been a person.
Outspokenly, he doesn't rate himself,
he's like quite an intelligent guy, he's good looking and he's got a good point of view on rugby, so he's trying to make a living for himself after playing, which is quite intelligent, but as rugby league players, like, who's he think he is? And that's a general conception in the game, which is stupid, because we want people to have personalities. We want to see, we're superstars. We want Ellery
Turn Anlis, your phone off, Leon.
Sorry, we want Ellery Anlis, we want Martin Fayers, we want these big, we want Gary Schofields, we want Robbie Pauls, Henry Pauls. We want the big superstars. We want to be seen and making controversial. We need something. We can't just everybody be bland at the moment. We've got no superstars and it doesn't sell.
Yeah. What about, there was a front row who came over from Australia. Oh gosh, he played for London Broncos. He ended up getting absolutely battered. He came in into the competition and he said, "I'm gonna be the man. I am the big daddy."
I know that is.
Who was it from Manly? Yeah, but what was his name?
I get it. It's Steve Menzies. Really good mate with Steve Menzies. I know it is.
And I remember
he got battered.
Absolutely.
he got knocked out every game.
every forward pack in the whole competition just lined him up. But it was gold for the journalists to write, because, you know, who's this putting their head above the parapet? Yeah. It's that sort of that controversy, that juxtaposition that excites you guys.
Media.
Yeah, look, Aaron, let's turn to Aaron. What do you want?
Well, Eddie Hearn said on Talk Sport this morning, and it's probably a question for everyone, who is the last rugby league superstar in this country?
Sam. Leo Bryce.
No, no.
But is it? No, it's not.
It's Martin O'Fire.
Do people in London know?
It's Martin O'Fire.
Yeah, Martin O'Fire, but Sam's the recent one who gets the soccer AM and all that rubbish.
Yeah, I know, but he's not on the tips of everyone's tongues.
You could argue Sam Burgess, maybe.
Burgess.
But that's only because he went
Jason
and played
Robinson.
Rugby Union.
Yeah, and he went and played Rugby Union.
But if we're going to say it is Martin O'Fire, the big dog. Yeah.
But that's the point.
Martin and Fire's known anywhere in London, everywhere.
That's the point, though. Martin and Fire were going back 25 years now. Is, yeah, 25, 30 years we're going back.
When did he retire? 97?
Yeah. But it, when it, early 90s, turn of the 90s, when he was really at his peak. Yeah. So there's no superstars in the game, and whether that's the game's fault for not promoting them, I don't know. But you want characters, you want colourful stuff, because it's what sells papers, it's what gets stuff on TV and things like that.
Example, if Tyson Fury is fighting and he don't say no, he don't carry on like he did before a game, he might sell 100,000 tickets. He carries on like an absolute loan pot, he sells a million. That extra £10 million worth of revenue goes in his back pocket.
Let's follow the same chain of thought. And let's now say, okay, what would, and let's just call it the Hearns factor, bring? How could, what would we see? What would it look like? What would a press conference look like?
I'd take a press conference. I'd have a face off. Sometimes I say wrong thing on Twitter and stuff, people like to get at me. But I think it's in with players as well. I think a lot of players, like when I first started doing this show and stuff, people like, oh, you think you're big time, what are you doing radio for? What are you going to do this for? You love rugby league, you doing, like, do you know what I mean? People get upset when you try to do something.
Okay, so go do it. I want you to do it live on air right now and say, you're going to be the man, you're going to destroy all the league one.
Put it out right.
Yeah, I'm here right now, I'm listening.
You can just imagine when you go up to Workington and you hear Leon's voice from the sideline. How do we see it? Do we do this sort of MMA style, the boxing styled press conferences
how
do we make it real?
Well, you were quite out there, weren't you, with your rugby?
Yeah, I live in my little world, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, it's better than in a little bubble, doing nothing, saying nothing. You made a name for yourself on, obviously, you scored your hat-trick at Wembley, but then you became personality off the field, you did promotional work, Bradford Bulls use you very well. But, you know, you're quite outspoken, you'd say things that a lot of players won't say. But that got you noticed. And I remember saying...
We'd had a really strong win against St Helens or something like that. It was leading into the finals, and I said this team on their day would beat the Australian international team.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And I remember JP pulling me aside and saying, "You can't say stuff like that." And I looked up at JP and I said, "I've played against Australia. I've played when they've been rubbish, and I know that this team, which was basically an international team, when we're on our game, we'd beat Australia." We actually would have, because some of the times
sells papers,
played.
Doesn't it? It makes people want to watch. I like it. What about when Sean Wayne don't like Darryl Powell last season, who come out and said, "Well, you know, everybody's run me up except from Darryl Powell, but I wasn't expecting out from him." How good's that? We're all like, "Yeah,
yeah."
Better than saying, "Oh yeah, everybody's good and everything's nice and everything's rosy dosy." No, but
that's the kind of stuff that makes the papers. Not Darryl Powell or any coach saying, "Oh, I really respect this guy," slagging each other off.
Just being honest.
Yeah, it's all on the coach's shoulders.
Yeah. Just being honest.
Just being honest.
Don't care. Firing into Leon firing back into John Kerr.
I'll fire into him. I just come and take him clean out with my elbow on his chin.
You've got to get past the hands. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're actually going to look at all of the upcoming Super League games in the first round. Stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, Aaron Bauer, Elliot Minchella, Craig McDowell, and naughty, naughty boy on the naughty step, Ross Peltier.
I apologise to everyone out there.
Okay, let's have a look at the Super League. It starts this weekend. It starts tomorrow night, not even this weekend. It starts Thursday night rugby league. We've got two games on tomorrow night. I'm so excited. We've waited so long. Let's kick it off. Let's discuss Hull FC, Huddersfield Giants at FC. Leon, let's start with you. Your old boys. What are they going to do this year? How do you think they're going to shape up against a Giants that have been training really well?
I think they'll beat Giants quite convincingly, in my opinion.
Why?
Because I think they've progressed over the last time since I've been there. So for the last 5 years, they really have progressed a few steps up. They've got some young lads that are coming and stepping up to the mark. I think this year's Super League will be their main focus, not Challenge Cup, as well as defending the Challenge Cup, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Huddersfield have recruited too well.
All right, you know what? I think we've all seen the growth of Hull FC over the past 2 years, especially, and, you know, taking home the cups over the last consecutive years. Huddersfield Giants. Let's just throw that into the universe. Let's have a chat about them. Local West Yorkshire side, probably not got the rub of the green over the last couple of years as they would have liked to have got it. So what's the general consensus in the room about the Giants?
Well, they made the top eight last year. I mean, oh, that probably gets forgotten quite a lot because the season pretty much petered out after that. A lot of people are quick to write them off, and looking in terms of the top five, six, seven, they probably are a little bit behind them. Some good players there, though. Mm. If they can get Mamo fully fit, he's going to be a wow of a player for them.
Rankin as well.
They did their big business halfway through the year, didn't they, by bringing Turner and Rankin in. And they've obviously only made a couple of signings, obviously Adam Wall and Colton Roach from Bradford. They're probably in that mix for 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, are that's the area they probably are. I think squad depth is where a lot of sides will live or die this year. Most 17s look really good off the back of it. Even you go all the way down to your Salfords and Windlasses, their 17s look good. How would Huddersfield cope with the injuries? Without Kudjo, I think, for the first month of the year, he's going to be an enormous miss. He's such a good player. And like, this structure is really unforgiving. So I think Leon's right. I can probably see Hull winning that game tomorrow. If you lose your first 2, 3, 4 games in this structure, you saw last year with Warrington, it's almost impossible to get out of it.
And you saw the year before with Huddersfield.
Yeah, and Leeds as well, and Leeds.
Yeah, getting a good start is so important to the fear factor, the pressure that comes with playing a competition in this type of structure. Okay, so what's the general consensus in the room? Hull FC at home to the Giants, Elliot?
Yeah, I'm going to say Hull FC as well. I think they'll...
I think about
a 20 point win, I reckon. I think they've got too much quality, too many good players. I think, I think they'll...
opening home game of the season.
Yeah, I think they'll turn it on.
Yeah, I'm going Hull FC, but is Jake Mamo, is he back fit yet? Or is he going to miss
playing?
I think he'd be key to Huddersfield's season. I think if he turns it on, then Huddersfield could beat most teams on any day.
Yeah, no, obviously Jermaine McGilvery off the back of the World Cup, be interesting to see how he goes.
Mackie, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, generally I think that it might be a bit closer than we're all saying. Huddersfield, you know, first game of the season, I think it's always tight, you know, right across the kind of fixture list, so... I think it won't be 20 points in it, maybe.
For me, I think Huddersfield's got a lot to prove. I'm with you on there, Mackie. I think Huddersfield got a lot to prove this year. I think that squad has now been together for a good year and a half, 2 years now, and they have to prove it to themselves. There's a lot of, you know, I think, as I understand it, there's pressure coming from the board to make sure that Rick Stone and his coaching staff keep the pressure on the players and they deliver properly.
Yeah, I think Brophy will have something to prove as well after World Cup, after his bad press. I think he'll want to make a big statement start season.
Yeah, playing for redemption, hey. We all know what it's like. When you make mistakes in real life, you go out there and you play extra hard and you try extra harder because you'll get that love back. And, we say fans and supporters and everyone involved in sport are very forgiving once you start putting the ball over the try line. So, to a certain extent, anyway, to a certain extent. But playing for redemption is a big motivator. So moving on to the next game, which is probably the highlight game of the round. Warrington Wolves with their new signings on the back of last season will go head-to-head with the champions. Thoughts on this one?
Probably the toughest game to call, I think, in the opening weekend. Warrington are real...
At home as well.
Yeah, they're an unknown quad set, though, aren't they? I mean, they were really poor last year. New coach, interesting to see what he brings in. He's had, you know, 2 or 3 months to instill his philosophies into them and instill his beliefs into the way they want to play. New halfback coming in at the heart of it as well, in Tyrone Roberts, marquee player.
Quality,
but a lot of pressure on him as well because he's around a lot of players who were there last year playing in a struggling team. So I've probably got Warrington in the four, but I think it might be a good few weeks until you see them properly click. I think it'll take a while for Price to put his stamp on Warrington.
I'm at Workington.
See what he did there. Toss of a coin for me tomorrow night, I think, though. Warrington leads.
In all fairness, Robert, I was just thinking about it then, realistically. When you start a Super League season, any season, it's a bit of a toss of a coin for any game. Yeah. Because they're the hardest games. The first three games are always the hardest games because the sides that have recruited, everybody's come off the back of pre-seasons, everybody's fully fit, nobody's really intimidated by any other team. So them and the team, I remember at Saints, the first three games, we always struggled, always. We got beat by London, we get beat by Salford, Wakefield. The teams that we usually beat in mid-season, we'd always beat mid-season. If you get them teams first 2 or 3 games, it's a different ball game.
How many pre-seasons have either team played, because do you remember when we were talking about Huddersfield and they only had one preseason match?
I know Hull have had about five, Hull have seen.
No, they only had two Hull.
No, indoors.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, indoors, yes. Behind closed doors, I've had about five games.
Because that bodes well for the Bulls coming up to what, the fifth game? It'll be the fifth game, won't it?
Yeah, fifth game. Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons for it. To get that cohesion, the new squad come together.
Yeah, I think John as well, he said, didn't focus on, everyone said we haven't scored enough points, but he said purposely for after this game, now we start focusing on good ball when Keezy and Chizzy are coming back, and then now we'll put some emphasis on actually playing.
I John's really experienced, but for me, I've had ball in hand since November. Every session I've had, we've done ball work every single session, because there's only so much fitness and defence you can do. And then if you start trying to do ball work all of a sudden, a week before the season, it's hard to get your cohesion.
Different set of probably different ball game here, because these guys get a little bit more time.
They get more time, but you've still got to have skills. I've been in teams that have been in conditioning, done conditioning for 3 months. We touch ball last 2 or 3 months. We go out to play, we don't play well for 2 months because we've not had no ball. Yeah. So my emphasis as a coach, as a new coach, is every session ball in hand.
Well, look, I was an attacking player. I would have just loved that. Defense, so that runs around deep field. Look, so just quickly, Warrington, let's go through the scope of the panel here. Warrington versus Rhinos.
I'm going a 4-point win to Warrington. It's going to be obviously Tyrone Roberts on the Warrington team, but there's Richie Myler as well coming into that new team, new structures, that obviously Leeds just won the grand final coming in off the back of that. Mm-hmm. But obviously losing Danny Maguire, Rob Burrow, I think, they're big, very big holes to fill, but I think they'll have a good year, but I'm going to say Warrington.
Yeah, I'll go Warrington by 12.
I'll go Warrington just because I'm from Bradford and I don't like Leeds.
Yeah, I think Warrington will win.
Okay, this is probably the other big game of the round. It's on the Friday night, I think it is. St Helens versus Castleford. That's got to be an interesting one.
Oh, maybe.
If you're
if you believe what you used to hear on this show, I'm a Castleford fan.
I'm a Cass fan. I'm with you, Aaron. I love the way they play footy.
Don't forget, Cass didn't win the semi-final. St Helens lost it.
So it's a rematch. It's a rematch. It's a rematch. Made in two senses. You and Leon and Cass and Saints.
It is the best game of the weekend. I reckon it's the two most entertaining teams as well in terms of the way they play. Saints are the team to beat this year without a shadow of a doubt.
Why? Is it Cass or Aaron? Seriously. Joking aside.
No.
Yeah, they've got to be. You've won it by 10 points last year.
The amount of changes Holbrook made in St Helens with no real time on the training ground. They were preparing for games week in, week out. Throwing the Barber factor fully fit and firing as well.
He'll get on a steal.
Yeah, and Hardacre at Cass just makes Saints favourites.
I'll say this. The same things we talk about, Bradford being at the scouts, everybody take off. I think everybody's going for Cass this year. I think they're the team to beat. They won it by 10 points last year. They play fantastic rugby. They just didn't get it over the line. They were the best team last year. Mm-hmm. Everybody were going for them.
Elliot?
Yeah, Ben Barber, he's going to be the man. He's going to be man of steel. He'll be the difference, I think. Like Aaron said, no Zach Hardacre. So Ben Roberts will be fullback, but I think Ben Barber's the man.
Mackie?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think Barber will be a standout player this year, but I think Cass will pip it tomorrow night.
Peltz?
Yeah, I think Ben Barber's had full pre-season, so I reckon Saints will attack it.
So the other game's coming up, Red Devils versus Wigan. Come on, just quickly, who do you think's going to be the outcome there?
Salford.
I think Wigan, just too good.
Yeah, Wigan by 20-odd points, yeah.
Wigan just by 60.
I generally don't see Wigan being that competitive this season, but, you don't underwrite Wigan at all, do you?
And we've got Hokea and Wakefield Trinity and Widnes and Catalan. Just quickly fire through. We're running out of 10 seconds.
Wakefield,
that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Look, that's us done for the show. Well, thank you to everyone being on the show and everyone listening wherever you are at home. And Pals is still sorry. Love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.